Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And you're listening to Youth Talk with me, PB Aisha Lahe, on Radio Islam International, simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. How often have you come across your children saying, Daddy, I want this, and Mommy, I want that, and Daddy, I need this, and Mommy, you have to buy me that. And then parents will say, but I don't have money. And your child will say, but you do. You got this little plastic disc, you got this card, and you put it into a machine, and all that money comes out. And I saw how much of money you have in your wallet. And then parents look at this child like, excuse me? What did you say? I mean, come on, parents. You must be nodding your heads and thinking, yes, I know, I know. Do children actually know the value of money? Do children honestly believe that you have a money tree growing in your backyard? Do children think that every time you put a card into an ATM machine, it's just going to shoot out 200 rand notes? Today, we are discussing why should children be money-wise. We all understand that our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would be very pleased with us if we've led or we lead lives that are simple, if we lead lives where we do not live beyond our means, if we are content with what we have, and honestly, if we give out sadaqah, if we give out charity and teach children that there's a big difference between wants and needs. And inshallah, that is what we are striving to do. But in the process, we need to educate children from what my experts are going to be discussing with me later. Children need to be educated about money and counting and the importance of how to save and the difference between wants and needs from the age of, believe it or not, 2 years old. So today, like I said, we're going to be talking about the importance of why children need to be money-wise. Our lines will be open. It's 011-854-1548. I'm looking forward to listening to your opinions regarding finances and children. How much pocket money is enough? Should children be getting pocket money? How do you teach your children to save? Do your children know what is a money box? And how do you deal with finances regarding your children? So please call us. We'd like to hear from you. We have two guests on our show today. We'll be speaking to our first guest, who is an educator and head of department of one of the primary schools in the area, Ms. Preeti Manga.
Hi, how are you, Aisha?
I'm well, thanks. And how are you? Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Now, before we talk about your views on being money-wise regarding parents and, you know, from an educational perspective, do you have young children?
I do, yes.
And how much pocket money do you think is okay for children under the age of 10?
Our two children don't get pocket money.
Okay.
At all. For the simple reason that they get a good lunch box for the day. However, recently as they've grown older, we have bent the rules slightly and said, okay, one Friday in the month, you are allowed to have tuck. Okay. So that day they won't get the lunch back.
Yes.
And they're allowed to go and buy something from the tuck shop.
Okay, so that's one Friday in a month.
Yes, okay. If I remember.
Oh, okay, you remember. Okay, I mean, generally, do they get an allowance? Like maybe they're saving for something special?
We as parents haven't given them an allowance per se. But what we have done is they receive money at celebrations, at birthdays, at occasions and things like that. Guests come visit home and see them after a long time. So they leave them with something. So we've saved that money for them. And that's their savings. But we haven't yet, with our own two children, gone the extent of saying, this is what you are allowed for the month and what you do with it is up to you. But we do say to them, when schools have market day or a celebration day, then we have given them both something to say, that's your money, 20 rand or whatever the case may be, and you're welcome to purchase whatever you'd like for that day.
Now, what happens, because I know your kids are under the age of 10. That's why I asked you specifically under the age of 10, because obviously with teenagers, they would obviously want more pocket money. Now, just say you've given your little boy a particular amount, like you say 20 rand, for instance. And then he goes to market day and, you know, his eyes just, you know, happen to fall on something he really, really wants. And he realizes, uh-oh, this is 30 rand and I've only got 20 rand. Comes home and he's crying, he's upset with you. What do you do?
Too bad. Next time when you choose market day, you may have 30 rand.
Because this often happens. Sometimes, you know, it's a way of maybe trying to educate your child about the difference between wants and needs,
that's
maybe.
That's exactly where we were leading to.
Mm-hmm.
Did you really have to have that?
Mm-hmm.
Where was it going to fit in with what you currently doing or what you currently have? And steering it in that direction, you obviously got to lead him or her towards saying, you really didn't need it.
Yes.
Now. There's a time and a place for it, and your time and place will come for it.
Yes.
You know? And the same like, I mean, a 10-year-old loves a Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean he's going to get it.
Definitely. Not even the adults want Ferrari, but it doesn't mean we're going to get it.
So, yeah, we all have wants. Yes. But what do we need?
That's the very important question. Yeah. Definitely. We're going to be discussing that in detail. Now I'm going to take you now from mummy point of view to educator point of view. All right. I know we deal with a lot of concepts regarding money at schools, especially from grade R onwards. If maybe we could just share some tips that parents can use in their daily lives to help their children to be wise when it comes to spending and, again, you know, reinforcing the concept of wants and needs.
I think as parents, you from a young age, it wouldn't be too advisable to be giving kids pocket money.
Mm-hmm.
For kids at school, it's just the thrill of being in the tuck shop.
Yes.
You know, because there's a buzz there during break and that type of thing. But nothing says you can't do it, but don't do it often.
Mm-hmm.
If occasional once in the term or once in the month, it's okay. But the amount of money we give to our children needs to be regulated and needs to be carefully watched.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be giving a grade 1 100-rand note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
They're vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
They're the young ones in the school. And obviously we breed in a lot of unwanted incidences and occurrences.
Mm-hmm.
So if they had a 5-rand or a 10-rand, it's within reason.
Mm-hmm.
But too much of spending money for little ones especially is not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Your question again was that where do we bridge the gap for kids?
Mm-hmm.
Our money, especially here in South Africa, is in specific denominations.
Mm-hmm.
So 50 cents, if you count in fives, you'd be able to count the money.
Mm-hmm.
If mommy gave me 3 50 cents, what was it equal to?
Mm-hmm.
And she sent me to the shop. Parents sending their kids off to buy the bread or get off the car, go into the shop and buy a loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm.
Surely that child will in time to come know the price of the bread.
Mm. And the child's learning to be responsible.
Yes. Yeah. So he goes into the shop and if mommy gave me 20 rand and the bread is 15 rand, then surely I must get back something. Now what is that something called? That something is change.
Mm. Mm.
And you get a 5 rand back, in for instance. And in so doing, they would learn the use of money.
Yes. So it's not something that's just in the classroom and then you go home and it's forgotten. It's how they
I'm using it practically.
Yes.
These days, things have evolved. We don't use as much hard cash as we did way back when you and I were little.
Yes.
Not even giving our ages away.
Yeah.
but we're fortunate in a town set up like Lens.
Yes.
We still have the corner shop that we can go into.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we can't take our kids into the big supermarket and say to the kids, stand in the queue, pay for the stuff, and you watch from the end of the toll point rather than you paying for the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they're handling the cash themselves.
And I think it's such an excellent idea that you said that you've mentioned this. You know, not actually an idea, excellent point. Because, you know, everyone's just moving around with cards nowadays and it's EFT payments. Children are not actually seeing how much money is being spent. Hence, they have that idea that you just put this plastic into the machine and the money is going to come out. So now when they're handling the coins, like you say, they can see exactly how much money has been spent, how much I still have left, the change, and moving forward know what to do.
Yes.
Okay.
And so doing, you learn to count the money. So you don't have that scenario where the little one has a 50-cent coin and a brother has 2 20-cents and a 10-cents, which is also 15-cents. She said, my brother has 3 monies and I have 1.
Exactly. Now, I'm very, very guilty of that. I have to just share the story when I was young. Obviously, you know, we all had a money box and it was full. And obviously, when it would be full, then, you know, my late father would say, okay, now we're going to take all the money out and I'm going to give you what it's equal to, and this is what I'm going to give you. And he would give me this paper. And I'm like, what is this? He says, no, all of this, if you count it together, equals this. I'm like, no, this is more. Can't you see there's so many? This is just one paper. And he was trying to explain to me that the value is the same. I'm like, no. You keep your paper. That is paper. This is a lot more money. And I would just walk off. And as I'd walk off, there'd be a trail of where I was going because all the cents would be dropping or the coins. But again, that's for children. They don't understand the value.
So when we use these practical examples of going to the shop or taking out money and counting up the money, it's just as kids can count.
Yes.
So counting money shouldn't be any different from counting on a counting chart or counting objects.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. We were talking earlier just now about money boxes. What is your view about money boxes?
I think at a young age, it's something handy for kids because they feel the money going in, they hear it going in. And if it's a see-through one, then they see it growing,
yes,
so to speak. So almost like my money is growing,
yes,
you know, because it's increasing or it's filling up. Yes. Not increasing, it's filling up as you put in more.
Yes.
They have an idea that if I put this aside, it's going to be kept in here safely for something or for a purpose, you know.
So they can actually take it with them to the store and maybe purchase something and see for themselves that, listen, I saved and this is what I bought.
Yes.
Like a reward.
Yes.
Okay. Any other ideas you'd like to share with our listeners, our parents, caregivers that are listening to assist their children?
I think when we talk about the very younger ones and we say we're saving, we've forgotten the idea of saving. You and I save and we say we're saving for later days or for a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
Have we taught our children what a rainy day is?
Mm-hmm.
Have we explained to the kids that the use of money is it's a commodity, like every other commodity, and it needs to be used with respect? Whether we use it in cash or we use it via EFT and the modern ways of using things like that. Are our children aware of it? Do we speak about these things to the kids that, you know, this product is cost X, Y, and Z at the store?
Yes.
And at another store it costs X, Y, and Z. Have we made comparisons and do we teach our children to make comparisons?
That's an excellent idea. So sitting with sale papers and showing them this is the same item, say for example, a can of cold drink.
For sure.
And you're saying this store has it for this price, and this store has it for this price.
And look at another item at the same store which may be cheaper in the other store. Those are things that budgeting and things like that which we need to teach our children from a young age.
Yes.
You know, why does mommy have to buy bread at that price when she can get it at a cheaper price somewhere else? And as adults, we do have a favorite store we go to. Why is it that we go to that particular store? Because something that's there that attracts us or saves us.
Yes.
You know, convenience.
Yes, convenience.
Or is it the price?
Yes.
And these are things subtly you need to make children aware of so they grow up with these things. And one day when you find yourself as a householder somewhere, these lessons are life skill lessons and life lessons that you start to love yourself.
And then you will remember that. Also, I just want to touch on quickly about, you know, we're speaking about telling children, again, like we say, differentiating between wants and needs. Do I really need this? You know, sometimes also they may see a toy, for example, in young children, and it's priced as price X, and they just want to buy it. And sometimes you tell them, you know, it can be a bit cheaper, but maybe the quality is not too good if we wait a bit longer. How does that, you know, telling that to a child that demands they want something doesn't go down very well?
I think if we take something like toys when they're very young, wants and needs, everything a child wants.
Yeah.
And I need everything.
True.
You know? But why do you need it? You know, we've come to an era or a stage in our lives where the children no longer want a dummy cell phone.
Yes.
They want the real thing.
Yes.
So why do you want it?
Mm-hmm.
And we need them to answer those questions. And as parents and as adults, we need to be a little smart about it. And maybe use some cheap psycho also to say, the way we question them, it must answer the question, they must answer the question themselves. you're 7 years old. What do you need a cell phone for?
That was going to be my next question. I was going to tell you, I want to do a quick role play and say, but I want a cell phone. And you would probably say, you're 7 years old, what do you want a cell phone for?
Okay.
But all my friends have it. That's not a good enough response.
That's exactly.
Tell us why.
Why do you, if your friends have it, so why do you need it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mommy picks you up after school. At your school, your teacher knows mommy's number.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever is in charge of making a call to mommy will make the call to mommy. There's no need for you to have a cell phone. You see your school, your friends in school. You're sitting next to your friend in school. You don't need a cell phone to speak to your friend.
So we just have to get our parents, obviously, to be much more assertive. And they don't realize in the long run, like you say, these are life skills that the children will be hopefully practicing in their lives later.
For sure. And I think if we start young, we build up this culture of saving,
mm-hmm.
this culture of austerity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said in your introduction, we have been asked to live simple lives.
Yeah.
So how do we live simple lives if we've never been taught to live a simple life?
Yeah,
and if we live a simple life, if we live with austerity and with charity and all the other aspects of human life that makes our lives supposedly easier, then surely society would be easier.
Definitely, definitely.
And more rewarded.
Any last bits of advice from the head of department of a foundation phase that sits with children that always wants money all the time and plenty fights between this one took my money, that one took my money, this one is fighting for a 10 cent and the one says, no, but this is your 5 rand, but I want the 10 cent and you're trying to tell the child, but this is more.
I still can't get around that one, which one is right and which one is wrong. But yeah, I think as parents, it's just to say, you know, be on guard. And if you've given kids money, you need to question them. Mm-hmm. Where did you use that money?
Mm-hmm.
What did you use it for? Can you show me what you purchased if you sent it to market day or, okay, a tax shop if you like my little one and you ate the sweets before you got home? You know, those type of things. But
yeah.
How much of it did you get and what did you purchase? Do you know how much it cost you? So you have an idea of where the money went and what it was used for. You need to keep track of these things, especially with the younger kids. Even I think as teenagers also, we need to know where they're spending their money and what they're doing with the money that we allocating to them for whatever purpose it may be, whether it's pocket money or allowance or,
yes,
you know, for a specific purpose. You need to know and keep track of where it's going.
Yes. Yes, no, definitely. Sure. Thank you so much for sharing these pearls of wisdom with us. I hope our parents and caregivers will be putting some of these practical examples into play. And inshallah, trust me, you will be very grateful that you've done so. It's from a very young age.
For sure.
So thank you again, once again, Preeti Manga. And we look forward to having you with us on air again very, very soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Please, listeners, we are looking forward to you calling in. Please call us on 011-854-1548. Tell us, what are your views on the importance of making children money-wise? Do you give your children pocket money? How important is it for children to save? What is your idea of the difference between wants and needs? How do you educate your children about finances? Do you still use money boxes? Please tell us. I want to hear. We're looking forward to sharing, to engaging with you and finding out what it is that you do. Thank you so much. I think we have online our next guest speaker. We're just going to do an introduction and we're going to have a short air break and then we are going to be speaking to Mr. Gerald Mwandiambira, fondly known as Mr. G. So I'm just going to give the introduction quickly because Mr. G, and I have to share this with my listeners, I tracked him down in London this week. He was busy, he was traveling in London, and I sent him an invitation to be a guest on my show, and I'm so grateful that he did not refuse. And we're going to be listening to him just now. Gerald is the CEO of the South African Savings Institute as well as the CEO of Sugar Creek Wealth. Gerald is a financial planning, law and economics graduate, a wealth manager, a personal financial advocate, motivational speaker and author. Gerald, I can go on and on and on and on about all the things that you do. So I think you just better introduce yourself to my listeners. Good afternoon, Gerald Mwandiambira, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
No, good afternoon, Bibi, and good afternoon to all the listeners, and thank you for hosting me.
It's only a pleasure. I mean, I was going through your portfolio, and like I said, this is just the tip of the iceberg. You do so many things, and the fact that you are educating children, and, you know, we spoke about it, and you said children as young as 2 and 3, or at least their parents, and telling them to get children from as young as 2 and 3 money-wise, you need to share all of this info with us.
No, definitely. I think when it comes to children, you must realize that you yourself as an adult now are really a product of what you saw growing up around money.
Mm-hmm.
So money has two sides to it. There's the practical side, which is almost the mechanics of money, i.e. understanding that 1 rand should buy you this, or if you pay this amount, it's too much, you know. That's the
mm-hmm.
mechanical side.
Yes.
Then there's the emotional side. And the emotional side is the one which triggers your decision.
Mm-hmm.
And often if you grew up in an environment which had lack, you tend to either almost overcompensate for the lack you grew up with, or you end up following in exactly those same footsteps.
Yes.
So it's important that we teach our children to be what we would like them to become. If we don't actively do this, they simply follow our footsteps.
Definitely. Now, Gerald, I just need to interrupt you quickly. We're just going to stop for a short ad break, and we're going to get back, and then you're going to share with us all the brilliant tips that you've been sharing with everybody. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. No,
yes. So we're just going to have a short air break, and we're going to get right back to you.
Okay.
Just so. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And you're back on to Radio Islam International, simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7 with me, Bibi Aisha Leh, on Youth Talk. And we are talking about the importance of making children money-wise. We have our guest with us online, Mr. Gerald Mwandiambira. Gerald, our finance guru for today, take it away.
Well, I think when it comes to children, as I was saying earlier, it's really about us as parents molding our children to become the adults we'd like them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to money, it's important that firstly, they don't elevate money to more than what it is.
Yes.
The first thing we need to teach our children is money is a tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little exchange of value, and it's not more important than relationships and love. And sometimes, you know, a lot of children grow up thinking materialism is the most important thing. If you teach a child early, money is a tool. And
mm-hmm.
one of the easiest ways to teach your children is by getting a number of money boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as they're able to count, you start teaching them some of the principles of money. And the first one really is about getting them a money box and saying, look, whatever you desire, write down mm-hmm. what it is on the side, or I'll write it down for you, put money in there, and in the future, you'll be able to get that thing. Because on that first money box, you've already taught your child the principle of saving.
Yes.
Because
yes.
one of the things we struggle with as adults is to have a desire, but having no idea how to get there. But
mm-hmm.
by realizing that sometimes it takes time to get that thing, you have taught your child in that money box how to save. You can give them as many as they want in terms of savings goals. Because as adults, we have different things we're saving for at different points in
yes.
our lives.
Yes.
So
yes.
that's an important one. The,
mm-hmm.
the second one, which is important, is probably which is important in the Islamic faith as well, which is giving.
Yes.
Have a money box which you say, you know what, my child, whatever excess you have or whatever you have, give to someone else who's less fortunate than you.
Yeah.
Because that's important in life, because the hand that gives will always receive.
Mm-hmm.
So one hand you're teaching them to save, one hand you're teaching them to give, and the third one obviously is one where you give to your faith as well.
Mm-hmm.
Another money box which is specifically faith related to say, this is my gift. So those three money boxes, once they are full,
mm-hmm.
you then take them to a bank, and that's where you go to the Al Barakas and the different banking systems we have, and basically
yes.
put the money in there, because suddenly the child now can connect money with where it's stored. Because a lot of the youth we have today, they think mommy and daddy carry magical plastic cards.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I say when I just started the show. They think we have a money tree growing in the garden, or we have this plastic card, you just put it in the machine and boom, just shoots out 200 rand notes.
And if you do that at a young age, the child now realizes, no, mommy and daddy have filled up their money box and took it into that bank.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's coming back to them.
Yes.
Otherwise,
yes.
if you don't have that connection, your child becomes a almost financially dependent from the outset.
Yes.
And once you've taught them those tools, it's important now that you should realize your children will now be aware of how money works. Another thing you should do when you go shopping to the supermarket, make sure you always have a list. Because your children must grow up knowing that money is planned. Even though in your head as an adult, you know I need to buy bread and milk.
Yes.
Your child doesn't know that.
Yes.
You need to carry that list so that they know that your mommy carries a list. So when they grow up, they also have that discipline that, no, I can't go and shop if I don't have a list.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're disciplining and conditioning the child's mind that it's a prepared decision.
Yes.
It's not something which happens randomly. And I know as adults, we think our children are not watching, but actually children watch everything.
They do.
They are well observant. So, okay, so if you don't have a list, you're going to grow up with a child who does random spending.
Yeah.
Where you ask them, what happened to your money? Oh, on the way home, I picked up this and picked up that. But did you need to? I didn't need to, but I just did. Because you never showed me that it's a planned behavior.
Exactly.
And then the list is also the backbone of also having a budget. Because behind the list, there's a planned budget. And all these things work together. Now, also an important thing to realize with children is that because they are so perceptive and aware, if money in the house starts to go down, they're the first one to know.
Yes, that's true.
And it's important that you communicate tough financial situations to your child.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect your child to not be noticing that we haven't gone and had our favorite meal.
Yes.
In
yes.
2 weeks, 3 weeks. They'll know. They know it straight away. Every week, in fact, if a child is used to something, they expect it.
Yes.
The
yes.
moment it stops, if you do not communicate it, guess what the child will do?
Mm-hmm.
They will seek an answer. And often they find that answer at school in the playground.
Yes. That's
and some
very
other
true.
Child is going to tell your child something which you are going to find very hard to undo.
Definitely. Sharad, I just need to ask you something. You know, just before the break, we spoke about the lack. You know, sometimes where children are given gifts or given money because, you know, there may be this lack where, you know, I may not spend enough time with my child, so here's this money, or for whatever circumstances. Can you please just elaborate on that some more?
Yes, it's important that money is not seen as a replacement for you as a parent. A lot of parents have put money there to say they go to good schools, the child has got the games, the child has got good food. No, a child needs a parent, and money cannot do the parenting for you. Some people use money to do parenting in that they say the school must do it. No, teachers are doing a job to educate, but the parent will always be you.
Yeah.
And no matter how God has blessed you in terms of finances, do not think that those finances can take your place. And a lot of it happens, especially in the affluent families, where the children grow up broken, but they've got everything.
Yes, yes,
except their parents. Their dad, mom, dad is in London, Dubai, every week, doing business. The business is flourishing, but the children are empty.
Yes.
So it's important. So even as we were speaking earlier about those money boxes, if you do, and I've been blessed with a business, take your child into that business as early as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's important because you're teaching your child to embrace their future, which might be awaiting them, which is why you tend to find children follow exactly in their footsteps. If you have a business, your child grows up in that business, and you teach them nothing else, they're going to run that business.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And then also sometimes, you know, due to circumstances, maybe when there's a divorce, and, you know, obviously sometimes children, you know, spend time with parent X and then later parents Y. And then again, you know, sometimes maybe the parent that doesn't see the child all the time wants to sort of overcompensate. And because maybe most cases it would be the dad who's not, you know, with the children all the time, but I'm just taking an example. So maybe he's got the kids just for that weekend and take the children to eat out here and buy the child this and buy the child that. And sometimes these kids come home and they're like, Daddy loves me more because he bought me this, this, this. But yet mommy is the one that's doing the hard work the entire week or the entire month. Or
no, it's true, especially maybe in cases where a lot of our Radio Islam listeners have businesses. They come home late.
Yes.
And homework is done. Everything is done. We need to also have that work-life balance, that as much as money is an important enabler in our lives to make life a little bit easier, it is not the most important thing. And when it comes to children, psychologists have shown that children just want to be with their parents. They don't want bicycles. They don't want games. They don't want TV. they want you. Hence, when you are not there, the TV simply takes your place, and the next thing you'll be talking to whatever was on TV.
Exactly, exactly. Like you say, you know, gifts, the precious gift that money can buy is like your time, your love, your compassion. You know, money can buy many things, but it can't buy you the things that are really important.
No, definitely. And I think that those are the principles which apply. And as long as your child starts realizing those things, it's also important that by teaching your child your own values in the house, you are now protecting them from picking up values of the world.
Yes.
Because sometimes when your child goes to school, they are going to have to stand up for you in terms of what you have taught them around understanding money. They will bump into children who have a lot of money.
Yes.
And they will be questioning themselves. So if you haven't taught them why you don't give them 100 rand or 200 rand for tuck shop every day, their children will take 200 rand for tuck shop every day. And your child will now come back to you and say, Bibi, mom, why do you only give me 20 rand or 50 rand?
Yes.
So you need to embrace your own financial standing and in terms of teaching your child to understand that, no, my mom gives me 20 rand because for the chores I do, I only get 1 rand at a time, two rand at a time. And if another child is getting 200 rand, you explain to that child that, no, that is their mommy and daddy, and they're doing that because of X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And then you explain why I don't give you too much, because there's a danger in having too much money.
Yeah.
You ask them, does that child have lots of money, that you have lots of friends?
Mm.
And there'll be lots of friends. And then you also need to teach your child that friends are not bought.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of these children who grow up with a lot of money then expect to have entitlement, they buy people, and expect people to jump to their
own. Exactly.
So you need to teach your child to have character. And your child's character is around saying, my parents pay me X amount for chores, I get pocket money once a week, and I'm fine with it. My mommy and daddy love me, we do this together, you know. Otherwise, your child will just be so confused.
Exactly.
And then almost start blaming you. And there are instances where children who don't express themselves grow up angry at their parents.
Mm.
And your parents, you won't understand why my child is so angry. Later in adulthood, they'll tell you, no, it's because you didn't give me as much as someone else did.
But
you never protected why you do. So as much as we also as parents do things that give our children money, may we also be in a situation where when we do things, we explain why we are doing them.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Gerald, you mentioned just now a very good example as well, where your child can say, you know, my parents gave me X amount of money because I did this chore. Nothing wrong with paying children, young children, to do chores. Maybe sometimes, important also for them to learn to be responsible. But then again, maybe a chore, maybe gardening where you can save money, or maybe a vacation job. Nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you feel my child's too small and he can't go work or she can't go work. What is wrong with that? You're teaching your child responsibility. What are your views?
No, that's not the... children have to grow up knowing that as much as money is an exchange of value, it's also a store of value.
Yes.
So in order to accumulate wealth, you need to work.
Yes.
And children need to learn from a young age that money is often earned.
Yes.
So even if they are even if they're working in your shop, they need to realize that if people are not coming into the shop, there's no money being earned.
Mm-hmm.
So the chores are important in terms of getting that backbone of a child who doesn't grow up with entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you know that you have wealth, which is intergenerational, it's still important that you teach your child to earn. As much as you know that they don't need to really work.
Yes.
You need to instill that work ethic in them so that they grow up respecting other people and grow up realizing that at times they need to get their hands dirty, they need to do something that's uncomfortable in order to fulfill the need of providing.
Yeah,
and it's important if you start doing that, because it's also, you know, one thing we share in terms of the black culture, the extended family.
Yes, yes.
Money destroys families where children grow up with plenty in one family and the other child's cousin doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to instill values in that system that extended family is important, and even though Uncle XX doesn't drive a Mercedes-Benz, they are still your uncle, they are still important,
of course.
Still need to be respected.
Yes, yes.
Because sometimes the reason why respect erodes is because children associate money with who they should respect.
Yeah, exactly. And those are very, very damaging values for children to have, and they're going to grow up to be very miserable adults. So it's very good that, you know, such factors are dealt with at a very young age. Cheryl, your views on the difference between wants and needs? I mean, how can our listeners, you know, have that relationship with their children where they can easily establish the difference between wants and needs?
Okay, I think it's important that, you know, with your children, you explain the things they need, the food, the clothes, the things they can't live without. And it's important to teach them from a young age. And it happens in the supermarket, you know, and sometimes you have to be in that situation where you make your child choose that you want this or that. So that they realize that, firstly, there are choices that need to be made, and in some instances that certain things are more of a priority. So you say, okay, do you want this toy, or do you want to have food in your lunchbox tomorrow?
Very good. Very good. I mean, such a practical example, telling it like it is.
So
excellent.
The child will realize, okay, if I have this toy, I'll play it at home, but I'll have no food tomorrow. You'll soon find that your child is more than happy to give up the toy. And already you're starting to teach them their values around needs and wants. Money is practical. So wherever you can, make it practical. Give them the knowledge. Make them make that hard decision. Even when it's a want situation where they want two different toys. You can't have both. Choose the one which you want. Or this is all money has and can give you 50 rand. Find a toy of that value. Because money also has it's good value. There are some people who don't know the value of things. You will ask them, how much is a loaf of bread? And they'll be totally oblivious. They won't have a clue. So you need to also send your child now and again to do those little things which they don't need to do. You've got a helper.
Yes,
but teach your child, no, go buy bread, go buy everything. So when they come back, they are in their heads, they suddenly associate value. Same thing with their clothes, their uniforms. Let them know how much those things cost. They don't need to know, but go when you go uniform shopping. Say, here's some money. Go pay at the counter. It will also enable them to appreciate you in situations when the money is not there.
Okay, we're gonna get Cheryl back online with us. I think we just have a bit of a break in connection. But I mean, I have Preeti Manga still sitting with me in the studio. Excellent ideas, excellent advice shared by yourself, Preeti, and by Cheryl. Very practical.
Yes, I think the best way to deal with money is practically.
Yes.
It's not something that can be done on paper.
Yes. Yes.
Sadly. It's a reality check. And everything that Cheryl says makes perfect sense.
Yes, and then the emphasis of placing value on. Okay, we got Cheryl. We have you back, Cheryl. You were saying, sorry about
it's
that.
It's important to allow them to do these things and practically use money so that they associate value. You know, when they say they want these special branded sneakers, they must know how much they cost and go and see how much that value is associated in life. So it's also important that even if you are running a business and you have employees, that your child can then associate and say, wow, the sneakers I'm asking mommy for are the same amount our helper is earning in a month.
Yes.
Then they will also start having that appreciation. Because sometimes, especially where you don't teach them the value, they think that a loaf of bread and a pair of shoes have exactly the same value.
Exactly. And then, like you say, you know, and sometimes finances change at home, you know, sitting them down and telling them what's going on, there's nothing to be ashamed about. There really isn't nothing to be ashamed about. And there's changes, circumstances, things happen in life, and the quicker children know that, you know, like you say, money is a tool. It's not going to be there forever.
No, that's important. I think, you know, money must not be a secret. And I think where we make it a secret, this service, because our children also treat money as a secret, and it just repeats itself in future generations.
Yes. Cheryl, we've almost reached the end of our show. I'm definitely going to call you back in later in the year. You know, we could discuss something maybe before the school holidays, you know, something where we could share ideas with older children on how to be financially independent to an extent. But before you leave, any message that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think the message is let's teach our children early around the message around money Let's teach them the value of money. And most importantly, let's make them realize that money is less important than people.
Yes.
And yes. Money is less important than people, and things have less value than people. Because I think that's the problem we have right now in South Africa, that people are growing up thinking that money has a greater value than other people or relationships in the family.
Most definitely. Gerald, thank you so much for your time and the brilliant advice that you have shared with our listeners. I definitely will be in touch with you for another show very soon. Stay blessed and continue doing the amazing work that you are doing.
Thank you very much, and all the best to you as well.
Thank you so much, Gerald. Enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Gerald Mundiambira, who is known as a finance guru in South Africa, educating lots of communities about financial planning from children as very young as 3, 4, 5 years old, right up until businesses. And we also had our other guest speaker, Ms. Preeti Manga, who is an educator, parent, and head of department at one of the schools in Indonesia. Thank you so much for the valuable information you've shared with us. Next week, we will be discussing Down syndrome. October being National Down Syndrome Awareness Month, we'll be discussing children and adults living with Down syndrome, how communities and society can help children and adults with Down syndrome, the importance of inclusion and respect for everybody. We all have some sort of disability, and having a Down syndrome is not being disabled. We all have something that is a bit of a challenge for all of us, but it does not mean that we should not respect and love all of Allah's creation. So inshallah, next week we'll be talking about Down syndrome. Inshallah, I look forward to hearing from you. May you have a blessed week ahead. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.